Welcome to the virtual coffee break presented by OpenText Portfolio. We host concise, relevant discussions every month on a diverse set of topics related to digital transformation, information governance, process management, and data privacy. If you have questions or topic suggestions, we can be reached at igc_sales@opentext.com. Thank you, and now enjoy the podcast. Well, welcome everyone, and welcome to our virtual coffee break, Lift and Shift Your Way to the Cloud. My name is Doug Stewart, and I'm a Senior Director of Solutions Consulting at OpenText. Today, we'll explore the topic of migrating to the cloud. Specifically, we'll discuss the lift and shift or replatforming migration technique. Joining me today is David Mead. David is a Senior Solutions Architect at OpenText. So welcome, David, and why don't you take a couple minutes and introduce yourself to the audience?
Certainly, Doug. Thank you. I've been working here at OpenText since the acquisition of Carbonite. Prior to that, I was at Carbonite for many years and been doing this for 20 years plus in this industry, 35 years total in the computer technology set.
Well, great. Well, welcome. Definitely excited to explore, you know, this topic with you today. It's a topic that I know on many of the customer calls that I have comes up over and over again. So let's go ahead and just jump in. And sure. Obviously, the place to start is, so why lift and shift? Why use the lift and shift methodology versus other cloud migration methods?
It's a good question to start with. Lift and shift is a term that is used to, you know, physically pick up the devices and move it, or virtually pick up the devices and move it. Other options might include a conversion, converting it to the cloud or converting it into a specific platform. The reasons why you do a lift and shift versus other, a lot of it has to do with the costs and rapid return on investment. But the way I like to look at it more is diffusing or expanding out your expenditures, because the cost to shift to the cloud might drop your immediate costs, but if you don't actually utilize the actual cloud resources, those expenses can creep up on you pretty quickly. So the decision to lift and shift or convert, I think it shouldn't be an or question. It should be an and. If you're going to move to the cloud and you're not converting into a third-party platform, like Salesforce or something like that, then you probably want to say lift and shift and move to the cloud or convert. Reasons for that is so you could see that immediate expense relief when you pick up your virtual platforms and drop them on the cloud. And then while you're in the cloud, you could start seeing that revenue stream, or that, I should say, the cost values come to play, because you're using that, reinvesting that money into converting into the cloud platform. So those are some pretty basic ones.
Got it. That's interesting. So once you've decided to take this lift and shift and then, you know, also convert approach for migrating, how do you actually, you know, get started? What are some first steps that you should plan on?
Good question. So like any other project, there's some certain obvious steps. I always say it sometimes to point out the obvious. That way, you know, there are things that you need to do. First thing I always say is know your environment. And when, and not just knowing your environment, not knowing what servers you have out there or what their specs are and version numbers, but you really need to know your environment. What's being used in your environment? Why is it being used? Who owns it? Who's actually running this environment? Without that information, then you're going to be in, and you might get yourself into situations where you lift something to the cloud and it's not quite working the way you expected. So, understanding the data changes, how much the data changes per hour, understanding the type of network traffic you have. So getting that understanding is that first step, really understanding why that system is there, who owns it, what's it do at the end of the week, what's the volumes at the end of the month, are there certain licenses that need to be deployed, can you deploy those licenses to the cloud? That's another question that needs to be asked. Some environments will actually have connections outside the databases that might connect to another environment. If you move it around, it might have trouble. So really understanding your environment is what I would suggest is the first thing you need to do. I can't tell you how many times I've seen these 1,000-row multicolored column, you know, multiple columns of spreadsheets that they say, oh yeah, I know what I'm doing. In actuality, they know of the environment. They really don't know what that environment's doing. So that's what you really need to, first steps, know your environment, build a plan, make sure that plan has a starting point, active action points. You have gates that you can get through, and then an end game. By the way, that end game should also include getting to use the cloud services. So that's the first thing I'd look at.
Well, good. Well, I think you started already getting there, but my next question is on best practices. So what are some of the best practices that people should follow here?
Yeah, well, I mean, the best practice, I did hit on a couple of things, is making sure you have an end game, making sure you build a plan, making sure you have an end game and figure out what you're doing. I guess the other things to do would be include your stakeholders. If you have an executive stakeholder, if you have somebody who owns the business, include them early in that planning stage. A lot of times you have these plans that get built, the users go through and start building it out, then they go to their stakeholders and say, hey, we're doing this. The stakeholders like, oh, okay. So I'd say one of the best practices, make sure you get those stakeholders involved early in the game. Make sure they're not told what's doing without a decision. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And I would imagine also just project manage the heck out of it as well.
Yeah, I mean, that might be overkill in that sense, but project manage, but make sure your project is planned out well. You have a good project manager who's doing the due diligence. There's things that you need to make sure you do when you cover that plan is a lot of times you define SLAs. Perfect example. I have a system. This system could be down for 24 hours. Oh, we'll lift and shift through a backup. That's fine, but I have another plan or another system that can only be down for 24 minutes. Oh, okay, so now I have to do another process to do that. Make sure your plan covers the processes, which, by the way, is another best practice is minimize those processes. If you can find a solution that can go across the processes, whether it's a 24-minute or 24-hour recovery, make sure that your best practices includes getting something to streamline and optimize that solution. Lower the risk.
Got it.
The more processes you have to manage, the more pieces of this puzzle you have to keep in place and project manage, the more risk. The more risk, the more chances of having a problem and delays and complexities of the environment go up.
Right. And one thing that when you were talking, and sorry, I don't mean to throw this at you cold, but ROI must get talked about a lot as part of this as well. And there must be some best practice because, you know, people oftentimes pull ROI out of thin air.
Correct. Correct.
And so there must be some good best practices that you've seen or at least don't do's around ROI, you know.
It is. There are. The conversations on the return on investment is pretty straightforward. What's your initial investment? How much do you charge per, you know, how much do you pay? I mean, if you look at the data center, that first decision that we have to make, am I going to move this to the cloud? Yes, I'm going to move this to a cloud. Okay, am I going to lift and shift or convert? That's when you start looking at your ROI. I'm going to spend some money to have a tool to help me lift and shift this to the cloud across all processes, across all steps. The return on that investment is probably going to be a lot greater than having multiple people manage multiple processes and multiple solutions. Yeah. It also reduces the risk, like we're saying. And then again, on that return on investment, you got to calculate that all the way out. Your plan should have a calculation that says, I'm going to lift this, I'm going to plug it into the cloud, and then I'm going to take that savings and reinvest it into my conversion to truly utilize cloud resources. Scariest thing is when they don't have a plan after the lift and shift. What they're going to end up doing is moving their physical data center to a virtual data center. Well, that virtual data center still needs to be managed. It's still going to have costs. It's still going to have repercussions about how things are running, licenses are being used. I still got to update my applications. The difference is when you lift and shift your environments, you have a tendency to drop them on the most expensive resources on the cloud. It's the file systems that are expensive. It's the file field storage. The data storage is going to be expensive. Your ingress, your egress, your communications, all that stuff is going to be expensive. On top of that, you're buying a license. I still have to manage my OS. I still have to manage my license. Right. So part of that return on investment should go into that end game that says, I'm going to move it. I'm going to take that savings. I'm going to start converting it into that service. I'm going to move my database to the platform specific database, to the stateless environment. I need to get this into a containerized solution. Those should all be part of your end game in the planning. And those are all best practices. Keep referring back to that best planning practices. Include your security team early. I can't emphasize that enough. Get your security team early in the planning. Get your executive sponsors and your owners in that decision factor. In the end, the last thing you want to do is get to a situation where the executive owner has to make a decision and they don't know how they got there.
Yeah.
At that point, they're going to make a decision in the blind. It's generally, it might not be the best decision because they don't know how they got there. Keep them informed, help them make those decisions, and you have a much smoother transition plan.
Well, good. Okay. And then, given your experience helping, a lot of our joint customers, but just organizations in general through this process, what advice do you have around, or when it comes to actually selecting the migration technologies?
Okay. Good question. So again, let me refer back to that plan. If you have a plan, if something's the driver that's making you decide to go to the cloud, and you've built out your game plan, and you understand your environment, and you put your stakeholders in there, all of those are going to add to the decision factor that says, what cloud? What hyperscale provider do I want to use? Knowing your end game, that'll be a clear choice. You might choose multiple hyperscalers. You might have a business that says, hey, I really have this cool feature that AWS can support, but it doesn't quite have as good enough for my development team. So you might go to two different, you might choose Azure for your development team and AWS for your brick and mortar marketplace or your distribution network. You might choose Google because you have a marketing team and they already use those tools. So it's not just one cloud, it's your business and what your business needs and what part of your business needs. Perfect example, you might have a need for a highly resilient and highly scalable environments, but there are a lot of them that you need. So you might want to go to a containerized stateless solution. You might need performance, very significant performance. I shouldn't say significant, minimal performance increases, but they're critical. Well, you might need to do a solution like AWS Outpost, which is on-prem. These decisions are based on the solutions that are provided. So you might have a need to do some really good Hadoop or big data lakes. Well, some providers have really good solutions. Others have decent solutions, but it's up to you on your decision based on your plan and your end game, which direction you should go.
And kind of related to that technology question, David, I know some of the tools that OpenText has, but in terms of using actual tools for migration, is there any advice you can give there? I assume
certainly
using multiple products to do migrations is not one of those best practices that you would use.
Exactly. It's a cost thing. I mean, if I'm a small mom and pop shop, the free tools might be fine. They might fit in. I'm going to use the provider's tool because I have five servers to move. That might be fine for you. If you're a small solution provider, you probably at that point want to look at a limiting the number of tools so you could actually build a good practice about it. I work for a company that has a tool. That tool works across all platforms. Should you settle on that? Maybe. That might be your choice. If you're dedicated to one solution provider, I'm only going to AWS, then maybe you should just look at the AWS stuff. In the end, to your point, and I agree completely, limiting the number of tools probably will provide you the best return on your investment because you don't have to keep managing these tools per release and per version of whatever OS you're running. Simplifying that ability to integrate. Yeah, if I'm an integrator, I might want to integrate the tool into my solution. So making sure it has the integration options for you. The biggest one is finding out where those tools' limits are and figuring out how to get around them. Last thing you want is settle on a solution, find out 20% of all the things they do won't work.
Yeah.
You know, so now do I need to get two tools to do this? Or are there three processes I need to do this? So if you can eliminate all of those exceptions, identify the loopholes, and deliver a solution across the board, that will simplify it.
Good. And then kind of, you know, getting towards the end of our time here. So you know, this has all been good stuff. But I think you kind of started touching on this, but you know, how does the lift and shift approach impact the business? And does it impact the business differently than maybe some other of the migration techniques?
Yeah, it does. So when you look at it, if I lift and shift, I'm going to pick up my physical environment, drop it into a virtual environment, I should see some immediate returns on investment. I start reducing the footprints in my data center. I start optimizing my use of my current equipment. At that point, the next level of technology should be considered, because you're going to start seeing some charges that are going to grow. I tell people all the time, you know, if you look back at your VMware environment 5 years ago, did it get smaller? Probably not.
Yeah.
That same function is going to happen in the cloud. If you move to a virtual environment with no end game, then you're going to consider what technology costs are there going to be. As your process grows, so does your ingress and your egress. Are you going to do hot sites or warm sites? Are you going to do cold storage? All those have a cost. Is my CPU going to grow or is it going to shrink? So in the end, take advantage of what the providers have. You could build out a solution that does optimized processing. When you're not using your system, bring it down to the minimum footprint. Get burst modes or this capacity modes that allow you to grow your capacity on the fly. Gives you some options to optimize your costs. All those costs, by the way, I think should go back into your moving into that service-oriented or software as a service solution. Utilize the databases that the vendors provide you. Make sure you're not locking yourself into a solution at the same time. You know, you might want to be able to utilize a SQL database or a PaaS database on Hadoop or something. Make sure you can move that around. But when selecting the technology, make sure that you get what you want out of the technology, not what the hyperscale wants to sell you. That's the other thing too, is, oh, I have a great deal for you today. I don't need it. I need this. Let's go after this. So that's that long-term game plan. The last thing I'll probably leave you with while we have the time is, at the end, I've picked up my physical environment. I've moved my physical environment to the cloud. And I've even started going through the steps of converting it to utilize the cloud services. I still have an on-prem presence. I still have switches I need to run. I still have networks I need to manage. I still have an IT staff that's going to make sure I'm still connecting to the cloud. So it's not like you're removing your IT staff. If you're a large widget manufacturer, you're going to have a large, you know, staff maintaining the systems. Once you move to the cloud, they don't go away. They're still there managing the systems that you have. The IoT systems are going to be on-prem. Your networks, your routers, your security protocols, all that's going to be managed still. So moving to the cloud is not the end game. It's the next step in your end game.
Right. Got it. Well, good stuff. We're definitely towards the end of our time. And thanks for all those kind of practical insights. Any last comments or thoughts to leave us with before we close?
Well, like I said at the beginning, I've been doing this for a while. The company I work for now has a tool that does provide this across multiple platforms. So, hey, if you have any questions, reach out. I have no problem helping design solutions to do this.
Well, excellent. Let me reshare my screen so people can do just that. David, you know, definitely thank you for being with us today and sharing your expertise on you know, this topic of migrating to the cloud. It's definitely top of mind for a lot of the customers that I deal with. So, yeah, all your practical explanations and advice around lift and shift, besides being really interesting and insightful, I think that they're will be very practical and actionable, some good takeaways for me and others. So again, thanks for sharing your expertise. Certainly. And also to our audience, thank you for listening to our discussion. If you have any follow-up questions or would like to talk with one of us, our contact information is up on the screen right now. So feel free to reach out. And again, thank you to everyone for joining today. And a special thanks to David for sharing his experience with Lift and Shift cloud migrations. And have a wonderful day. And we'll see you at our next virtual coffee break. Thank you, everybody. Thanks,
Doug. Have a good one.
Thanks, David.